2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning, also John chapter 4 we'll spend some time in, which we recently have visited John chapter 4 in our recent series where we learned about Jesus and who he really is, and that would be when Jesus and the Samaritan woman had a conversation about living water, if you remember. If you don't remember, it's probably because you weren't here that Sunday. I'm just saying. might want to do a little review this morning. We're gonna continue in our discussion about disciple making and what that's all about, and really what is Jesus expecting, and how, what does it look like in the life of a disciple maker. We've made some points about types of soil, that we need to be good soil. We need to be soil in which the gospel is taking effect in our own lives, and Christ is allowed to be alive and well in our own lives. And that means that we are not settling for the thorny soil, which chokes it out. And we discussed a lot of different ways that we can kind of fall into the thorny soil in our life. Mostly in today's world, the busyness of life is part of it, can be part of it. Any kind of distraction that would take you away from being a disciple would be thorny soil, just so you know. And then we're talking about making disciples this morning on how to go about doing this, because we prayed about it last week. Not only did we pray about it, we kind of learned how the Lord would have us pray about it. And we also hopefully noticed that when Jesus taught these things, he said, if you ask anything in my name while you're going about my business, we'll make it happen, remember? Okay, I hope y'all got excited about that and stayed excited about that. If we don't stay excited about that, then we're kind of maybe finding ourselves in danger of the thorny soil situation. All right? If we don't stay excited about Jesus in our life, we're in trouble. And I'm talking even in the dark times of life, even in the hard times, even when things just ain't going the way we want them to go or the way we think they should go, we still should be excited about Jesus and the gospel. All right? And I know it's hard. I've been there. Right? We sang that hymn, I Love to Tell the Story, right? And it didn't say on the mountaintop, I love to tell the story. It didn't even say if I'm not in the valley. It just said I love to talk about Jesus. The song says it will be my theme in glory. Meaning, when I show up in the presence of the Lord, it's going to be known all throughout heaven that that's what I'm about. Now, the question that we have to answer is that going to be you? Is that going to be me? The second question that follows that, or maybe even precedes that, is do you even want it to be you? Because believe it or not, and I know you folks are different, but believe it or not, there's some people that could care less if anybody hears about the gospel or not from them. Somebody else will tell them. They can go to church and figure it out for themselves. I've known plenty of people that they believe that their relationship with the Lord is their business and it's nobody else's business. And it's not my business to get involved in their relationship with the Lord. And that totally disagrees with the assignment that Jesus gave us. Hello? How many of y'all like comfort? Well, first off, how many of y'all are American citizens? Raise your hand. Are you a citizen of the United States of America? Raise your hand. It's okay to be proud of that. Right? So I'm just going to assume that if that's true, and it is, that you enjoy comfort. Which then I can probably, and I know what happens when we get to assuming things, but I can probably make the assumption that it's difficult for us to move away from comfort sometimes. Move away from what, I like hanging around with people like me. That's you too. Don't act like I'm the only one. I like that we hang around with people like us. That's what we do. Sometimes there's somebody a little different than us, but we include them. I'm saying we in general, society in general. The old saying that birds of a feather flock together that's more true than we realize. Right? I don't hang around with marathon runners. I just don't do it. I know some, and I'll even hang out with them on occasion, but I don't go do what they do. And I don't learn the things that they learn. I'm just not a marathon runner. Don't hate me. I'm just not a marathon runner, right? I do hang around with people that like to cook barbecue. I do like to hang around with people that talk about Jesus. I do like to hang around with people who like to do the things that I do. But that's not really all there is to disciple making, is it? Sometimes we have to go be around people that aren't like us. And sometimes we find ourselves hanging around with people that don't live like us or don't choose the things that we choose in life. I'm not saying that we have to go do what people do if they are doing sinful things. But we don't dismiss them because they're living that way. We do find ways to spend time with them and hang out with them and or at least be around them for whatever the occasion might be. That's how we make disciples. That's how we at least put ourselves in a position to make disciples. Because if I only hang around with people like me, then everybody in this room is who I'm hanging out with. And the best of my knowledge, everybody in here is saved that I can see. So how am I going to make this? How am I going to do any evangelism then? How am I going to make disciples? We can disciple one another and we can help each other grow. Of course, that's what we do. But it's for the purpose of going into the world and telling people about Jesus so that they might have the same choice. Not going into the world and trying to make people change and be like us, but just let people know about Jesus. We're going to take some example from Jesus himself in John chapter 4. But first I want to read today's verse, a few verses that we're going to kind of have our big idea, something to remember, something to dwell on and pray about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we have verses 17 to 19 say this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, the new things have come." All right, and this is, of course, Paul talking to the church in Corinth, teaching them about who they are in Christ. And verse 18 says, "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation." How many of y'all knew before you came in here this morning that you are in ministry? If you're saved, you're in ministry. Now, there's some people, I know it's hard to believe, but there's some folks that are believers. They go to church and they even serve well at the church, but they think that the preacher's the only one in ministry. Right? That's not at all the case. Every believer, everyone who has surrendered to the Lord, everyone who has accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, repented of their sins, confessed Christ, been baptized for the forgiveness of every sin, all the way down the line, and is living as a Christian today, is in ministry. The question is, and you and the Lord answer this, are we living like we're in ministry? Is the ministry alive in us that Jesus calls us to? What the Spirit of God, I just read what it is. It's a ministry of reconciliation is what it is. All right? That's what we're all part of, the same team doing the same job. God uses us in a lot of different ways to get the job done, but we're all saying to people, look, you're estranged from God. You're separated from God, and God has made it to where you can be reconciled to him. Right? That's it. That's our ministry. That's what we do. And we do it because of Christ in us. Right? I don't do it. Christ in me does it. You don't do it. Christ in you does it. The minister, we're just the vessel. We're just representatives of the kingdom with the message. Seems simple, doesn't it? Seems real simple. I'm going to make it hard on you this morning because I know it's hard. If it wasn't hard, y'all would continue to do it more and more than you already do. Some people would do it who don't do it, and God would have his way a lot more than he does in our lives. And I mean our lives in general, in the body of Christ around the world. See, all right, I want y'all to be disciple makers because God wants y'all to be disciple makers. All right, I want y'all to be those who are serving the Lord well. And when the people in your life see you, they get a glimpse of what the kingdom of God is like. Or at least what you believe about it. That's my prayer for you. That's my desire for you, because it's God's desire for you. Here's the key for this morning. Verse 20, right, following what we just read, says, therefore, look, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us. That's who you are, Christian, believer. That's who you are in this world. If it weren't for this, we would just get saved, be dead, and go be with the Lord. There's no other reason to be here that serves the kingdom of God, you see. And if you think about the totality of the bigger picture, why would we want to be here in comparison to where we're headed? Amen? I mean, if we could just experience the presence of God, eternity, heaven, for just a moment, we would never, ever, ever choose to come back here. It's not possible. That's talking about the holiness of God and His presence. So we are ambassadors for Christ. That means a representative of, and that means when we speak about the kingdom of God, when we speak into people's lives, when we talk about Jesus, when we talk about our testimony, we're speaking for the kingdom of the Lord. Ambassadors of different governments, they travel the world and speak for their government. They speak words, and those words are known to be coming from whatever government they're representing. That's who we are, y'all. That's your ministry. And he says, we beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. When's the last time we begged somebody to hear the gospel? When's the last time we had a friend or a neighbor or a cousin or an aunt or a gas station attendant and said, do you know Jesus? I wish you would consider that. You don't have to stand there and preach the gospel to people. Just say, do you know Jesus? Do you know the gospel? What do you know about the Lord? And then say, you know what? I wish you would learn about Him, and I wish you would consider it, and then walk away. If you have to, you know, if you're holding up the line, whatever. Just do it. Told you it's going to get hard, right? Because we want to say amen to all of this, except for in our minds, we put ourselves out there in the world doing this, and we just can't see it sometimes. We're just like, oh, man, I'm not the guy. I was over here at Mills River getting fuel over there at the Ingalls gas station. And I'm trying to get some fluid to put in my truck. And the man in front of me was from some Baptist church around here in Mills River. And I had to stand there with this 25-pound jug of fluid while he was telling this man, you should come to church with me. You should come to our men's meetings. We have a good time. And he just kept right on talking to him. You know? And there was like, to 100% transparent, there was a small part in the back of my head. It was like, this thing getting heavy, dude. But most of me was like, okay, let this man talk to this man. Because he asked him, he's like, do you go to church somewhere? And the man said, no, I don't go to church anywhere. And he was nice. It was a nice conversation, but he was just telling him about his church and how we all need the Lord and this and that. And I'm like, okay, you can handle this. You can hold this for 25 minutes, however long it takes, you know. And then he just moved on. I was waiting for him to turn around and start talking to me and ask me to go to his church. But he never did. He got in his car and drove off. I'm like, what, I don't get invited? What's up with that? But I was looking at this guy, and I'm like, okay, this guy's trying to do it. He's trying to do what the Lord's called us to do. He's out there. He looked pretty comfortable talking to that guy. It wasn't his first time doing it, I could tell. But he did it. My question is to us, are we ambassadors for Christ or not? The answer is yes. But are we doing it? Are we acting like it? Can people tell that we're ambassadors? I want to give you guys some ideas looking at Jesus and his interaction with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, okay? Because there's this thing for each of us, there's this word. This is a Greek word. I'm not even sure I'm going to pronounce it right. Y'all think it's yogurt, but it's not. I think it's pronounced aikos. All right. We all want to say oikos. I think it's aikos, I think. We want to put the O as O sounding because that's the way the English language is. All of that is irrelevant to you. But it is a word that's used or has been used in scriptural writings, in the original writings. And it really means, it can be translated as household or the people in your home. But it really does, it means more than that. The intent of the meaning of that Greek word means not only the people in your own home or in your own family, aunts, uncles, cousins, grandmothers, and whoever's around, but also your close circle of friends that you spend time with on a regular basis in your life. And all of us have some people like that. Regardless of your family structure or not, there are at least a dozen to 20 people in your life that are regulars, what you would call regulars in your life. Right? Some of those folks are, for us, are church folks, and some of them are not church folks. Right? This is who the Lord would have us begin with. This is where we all begin. If we would all just be ambassadors for the kingdom of God in our circle, in our household, in our group of friends, God would handle the rest. Because each one of those people that are in your group of friends, group of family, have their own group. Some of those people are in your group, but some of them are not, you see. And you see how the gospel, right, can be spread quickly if we're just representing who we are in Christ to people as we live around them. But unfortunately, because of a lot of reasons, because of fear, because of spiritual immaturity, because of lack of desire or spiritual laziness, we don't do the ambassador thing around our close people. Because they all know we're Christians. We don't have to beat them over the head with it, right? That's the attitude. And I don't want to disrupt my close circle by being that guy all the time. Isn't that true for some people? Right? I'm glad the fans are on because y'all are sitting back going, all right, he's getting all up in our closet this morning right now. I don't like this. I didn't sign up for this. You did sign up for this. When you said, I want Jesus as Lord and Savior and I want God's forgiveness in my life, you signed up for this. The problem is many of us sign up and we don't read the agreement. We don't understand the transaction, the surrendering of myself to the Lord, and he, for him to do whatever he wants to do with self. That's surrender, you see. And I'm telling you this morning, the Word of God is telling us this morning that he is wanting to use us for his purposes to represent his kingdom so that people will know Jesus. That's what he wants. Nothing more and nothing less. And too bad we can't just sit back and say, oh, I didn't know it was that easy. Because it's not that easy, is it? It seemed easy for this man to come down here to this gas station in the middle of the night and talk to somebody who's working about the Lord and about his church. It seemed like that was easy to do, but I don't think it really was. Because he didn't know what that guy was going to say to him or how he was going to react. He didn't know how that was going to turn out. He didn't even get the answer that he would hope to get. All he did was drop off a seed and hope it's good soil. And if he's a good disciple maker, and I suspect that he might be, he's already dropped off a bunch of other ones since the last time I saw him. I don't even know that guy. He just keeps dropping seeds, keeps dropping seeds, keeps dropping seeds, keeps dropping seeds. We had this bad habit. We want to go back and check. Is it growing yet? Something going on? You know? And we keep disturbing the soil, and it won't ever do what the Lord's... You know, I could have said something right behind him, but why would I do that? The man in front of me did all the work already. I just pray for the man, right? Lord, whatever you're going to do with that, let it happen. So we're going to look at how to do this, how to interact with folks I think we already do a lot of this on our own, all right? First thing we do is we have casual conversations with folks, all right? First thing we do is we get out of our comfort zone. Let's start there, all right? Because you can't have conversations with people who are not believers if you're not out of your comfort zone. So I'm going to walk into this tofu restaurant with my ribs and sit down and eat with somebody. That's what I'm going to do, so I can have a chance to maybe talk to somebody. I mean, I'm talking about extreme measures. Sometimes you have to go be with people who aren't like you, or at least be open to the Lord leading you or arranging situations where that just happens sometimes. Okay, and if you're not paying attention, if you're from here, you notice. If you're not from here and you're one of the new people that's moved into this area, you probably wouldn't have an opportunity to notice, but people are moving into the community here, like in the droves. Like over and every day, there's more people coming. And guess what? I'm fresh off the bus too. And I've noticed that they're not like y'all that grew up over there down the road. Y'all grew up here and it wasn't the same back in the day, was it? And these people are not the same as you. They're from somewhere else and they have different culture and different ideas and different thoughts and different ways about them. They're great people probably, but they're different. So we have to learn, don't we? Guess what's happened? The comfort zone has come to us. You know, the uncomfort zone, the discomfort zone, not being comfortable has come to us. So what do we do about it? Well, we pay attention to the Spirit of God and we interact with people. Casual conversations is the first place. You know, how many of y'all know what casual conversation is? Don't tell me you don't, because every church person knows. Everybody that goes to church knows. You walk into church, hey, how you doing? How's the weather? How's your mom and them? And that's what we do. When we see people, we don't talk about nothing serious. We just kind of small talk. Casual conversations with people. When we go to restaurants and we have a person serving us, we talk to that person sometimes. Aside from what we're ordering for food and what they're there to do, we say, hey, man, how's it going? What's going on? I remember one time me and David Ducker and his wife and my wife, we were sitting at the Cracker Barrel, and This young guy, he dropped his little thing, a little packet of butter on the floor, and he tried to pick it up like four or five times. He couldn't pick it up. It was stuck to the floor upside down. He couldn't pick it up, and he finally he kicked that thing, and it went clear across the restaurant. And I was looking at him. I was like, that was amazing. I couldn't believe it. This dude had tattoos on his arm and everything. We ended up talking to that guy about a lot of things that morning just because of that little incident. I've never seen a waiter kick butter across the restaurant before. I haven't seen it since either. But look, it's like an open door. Sometimes people just, if you say, hey, how you doing? What's happening in your life? They might answer you. All right, be ready. They might answer you. You notice when Jesus was talking to this Samaritan woman, she didn't come to him, he went to her, y'all. Jesus went to Samaria. It's not on the way. It's not supposed to be on the way. It's actually out of the way, and it's actually forbidden for the Jewish people to go there because they don't like each other, remember. So why would Jesus go there if he didn't intend to do something with someone? You have to intentionally sometimes go places that you wouldn't normally go to meet people that are not like you. Right? I don't know what that looks like in your life. I know what it possibly could look like in my life, me and my wife's life, and in our circle of people. We just have to find, we have to ask the Lord, help us find these places. Help us get out of the comfort zone. Help us to notice opportunities to deliberately do something different than what we normally do so we can meet people that might need to know who you are. All right, that's the starting place. And I've learned over the years how to say hi to people. Ask him how their day's going. I was brother was here just last week. Our Gideon friend, what is his name? Bob. His name is Bob. Me and him had breakfast over there in Fletcher, and we're sitting there talking, and the waitress comes over there to give us some coffee, and he just stops our conversation and starts talking to her. He says, "Hey, is there anything in your life that we can pray about?" He didn't even say hi to her. He says, "Is there anything in your life we can pray about?" like right then, which I mean, that's amazing to me. And I wonder how many times we could do that. Now, I don't know if he intended to pray for her right then. I imagine if she asked him to, we would have. I would have. But I don't know, you know, she said a few things in her life, and me and him prayed about it. When we prayed over our meal, we prayed for that lady. She had to go to work, so we weren't going to hold her up. But that's all it takes, y'all. I mean, he just skipped over the casual conversation. He's like, hey, what can we pray about? And some of y'all, I'm telling you, some people, most people, a lot of people sit back and say, oh, I pray for people, but I'm not going to ask them, should I pray for them right then? I can't. I'm not the one to pray out loud. And I kind of understand that. I do. But at the same time, if we're going to be ambassadors for the kingdom, and if we understand that the greatest thing you can do for another person is to bring him before the Lord, why wouldn't we learn how to do that for people? Why wouldn't we get so uncomfortable that we can do that for someone else? Because you never know that moment may have pushed that girl, that lady, that she might have pushed her a little bit closer to the Lord in her day. Or even to the other extreme, she may have been deciding, you know what, I don't even believe in God anymore. Which at the time she said she did believe, but she may have been struggling. Who knows what's going on in her life? But that one interaction could have been a powerful thing for her in her life, and you don't know. But because an ambassador for the kingdom of God showed up and God's presence was known for sure, God is available to do whatever in that situation, in that person's life. That's who we are, y'all. It's not always about handing somebody a piece of paper or throwing a piece of scripture at them or pointing fingers saying you need to be saved because you're a bad person. No, it's like I care about enough about you that I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Or if you need a moment, let's go over here to the side and you can just tell me whatever it is you're crying about if you want to. Or whatever it is stressing you out. Why are you kicking butter across the restaurant? Let's pray about that, right? I mean, just look for the opportunities, y'all, to start a conversation. Just say, it don't have to be a conversation about God. Just talk. And so many times we're just the world, especially the bigger cities and the busyness, we're walking around with our head down. And we pass so many people every day and we don't even realize it. Or worse, walking around with our devices, liking and not liking of somebody else's comment about things that aren't right. Do what you want with that. So, Jesus, verses 5 through 8, so here's how Jesus started the conversation. John chapter 4, verse 5. It's not going to be on the board. You have to open up your Bibles. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being weary from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water to Jesus and said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. So Jesus is positioning himself for this conversation, for this interaction. He went out of his way for this interaction. He went looking for this interaction. He would have got thirsty somewhere else if he didn't go to Samaria, but he went to Samaria to meet this woman, to talk to this woman, and used his thirst as a opportunity to say something to her, which he's not supposed to be doing, right? I know we don't live in this world anymore, but he's a man, she's a woman by herself. He's a Jew, she's a Samaritan. This whole thing is totally off limits, not to mention out of the comfort zone. And the fellas that are supposed to be his disciples, supposed to be studying under him, they're worried about going to get their own lunch. And they totally missed the whole opportunity because they're worried about themselves. And they're worried about cultural things. And they're not willing to get out of their comfort zone. So comfort zone, we got to get out of the comfort zone. Just start conversations. next thing you know, those conversations, they lead into meaningful things. You guys have done this before. I know you have. You've done it before because you start, out of nowhere, somebody starts talking about personal things with you that you weren't expecting. You know, we're talking about the weather. Next thing you know, it's like somebody's grandma died. And they need somebody to talk to. Or their job. Or their kids. Or whatever out the world is falling apart. The sky is falling. Who knows? And next thing you know, you're engaged in this serious conversation about somebody else's life that you don't even know. And it's like disciple makers lean into that. And we're like, ooh, they just opened up the door for me to love on them and to bless them and to pray about these things. And even if we get up the courage, we can even ask them, let's pray about that right now. Let's talk to God about this. But many of us have experienced those moments and we're just like, oh man, I didn't mean to open up that door. How do I get out of this conversation? I mean, I think we've all been there. I hope we've all been there, because if not, I'm the only one and I need some prayer, right? I mean, everybody knows somebody that if you ask them how they're doing, they're going to tell you, and it's going to be a long time. And I'm not saying that as those are bad people or something wrong with those people. I'm saying those are the people that need to hear you talk about the Lord. They need the truth of God. They need the influence of Christ in their situations. That's what they need. That's why they keep coming to you, because they know who you are. They know who you are. He could easily, verses 9 through 18, that's when he starts talking to this woman about who she is. She starts talking to him about who she is. He starts saying, okay, there's more to you than that, right? I know who you really are. I know all about your past. As a matter of fact, the guy that you're living with ain't even your husband, and you've had all these husbands. It wasn't just give me some water, okay, here's some water, thank you, and have a blessed day moment. There was no fast food situation going on here. This was an engagement that became meaningful for this woman. Because she was offended because he wasn't offended to talk to her. She was like, you're not supposed to be talking to me. What are you doing? You're not supposed to be. She's there because nobody else is there, remember. So he's there now talking to her. Everything's out of whack. Everything's out of whack. Everything's inappropriate. What should she do? And because the conversation went from, can I have something to drink, to who are you and who am I and what's going on here, in verses 9 to 18. Then it went from verses 18 to 26. We started talking about spiritual things. Right? She thinks he's a prophet. She thinks he's something that different than what he is. Because she says in verse 20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where the men ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. And it goes on and on. Now they're talking about the kingdom of God. They're talking about salvation. They're talking about spiritual things, y'all. How does that happen in our life? How does that happen in our interactions with our neighbors, with our yogurt? Our circle of people, right? Everybody's got yogurt. How does that happen like this? And I think sometimes we're trying to force it to be that way, and that doesn't work. When we take interest in people, we talk to people, and then words come back to us, and then words go back, and then words come back. Conversation happens. It just gets deeper, doesn't it? Because you can only talk about the weather for so long. You can only talk about sports. I guess you could talk about it. ESPN talks about it nonstop. But at some point, we all need to talk about the things that are important to us with somebody who we trust and somebody who cares about us. And if you got that circle of people, and they know that you're that person, they're going to come out. At some point, they're going to say, what about this? What about that? And when you have people that come into your life and say, hey, I know you're a believer. I know that you know God. What do you think God thinks about this? Or they're going to ask you, what do you think about this thing in the world or that thing in the world? And they're not going to ask you what God thinks. They're asking what you think because they think what you think is what God thinks because they know you're a believer. And before you know it, you've gone beyond meaningful conversation and now you're all up in a spiritual conversation that you didn't even anticipate. And thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit and His involvement in our life because we would never know what to say. We would never know how to explain things. But the Spirit of God gives us words. Because then we start talking about why we think what we think about the world or sickness or problems or life in itself, children, whatever the case is, whatever the conversation becomes, we start saying, here's what I think about that. And then you're going to say, here, I think this because, and then boom, your testimony comes out. Not because the Bible says so, but because here's what Jesus has done in my life. Here's why I believe you should do this or shouldn't do that, or here's why I stand here. Here's how I handled my children when they were struggling as teenagers. And I do that because the Lord has been faithful to me. The Lord taught me how to do these things. The Lord told me this is right and that's wrong. So therefore I teach my children. And then suddenly you got parents of little bitty kids that are growing up into teenagers and you can see the panic in their faces because of it. They're like, they're about to be teenagers. We're going to lose control. And somebody who's been there, done that, walks up and says, okay, let's just step back and see what we should do. How do we help these teenagers become godly men and women as they become adults? How do we give them everything they need to survive a world that is looking to tear them apart? Right? And that's what young parents are talking about in the culture today. How do I know what's true and how do I help my kids know what's true? I know at least moms do it. I think moms and dads do it. They have these circle of groups. They got groups, right? They all get together and they talk about what to do with these people that they made, right? And they're like, and they're just swapping ideas. And like, hey, try this. Hey, I tried this and this didn't work. Well, let's try this and that worked. And then it takes a village, right? The question is how many ambassadors for Christ are in those circles? That are inserting God into the mix, that are inserting the truth of God's word into the mix, that are praying blessings over everybody else's kids. It's like, look, we're struggling too. We ain't even got no hair left, but we love the Lord and we just pray about stuff. So we'll pray for your kids too. And we're going to teach our kids to pray for your kids. And when you got children that are growing up and they go out and be ambassadors for Christ in their middle school, in their high school, then you're running like the Lord wants you to run. Especially when you got teenagers out there doing it because the Spirit of God is doing it in them. Because without the Lord, that's an impossible task, isn't it, in this world? These children are facing some serious opposition when it comes to believing in the Lord and being Christians in this world. Like as soon as they give into it, they are outcast in their circles. And it's bad. The goal is to take these spiritual conversations, let the Lord be the witness in you, and you can just be the ambassador to the point where people, you're teaching people and you're sharing with people and they are discovering the Lord for themselves in you and in your testimony. All right? Because we can tell people about Jesus all day long. We can preach the gospel. We can read the Bible to people all day long. And we can say to people, Jesus is the Christ. God has really created all this. We're all sinners. We can say it the way the Bible says it. And people can say, okay, I believe that's true just because you told me. And it means nothing. The Lord's after people who believe because they've experienced His presence. Those are the people who are genuinely getting saved. Those are the people who are genuinely saying, man, this guy in my life said this to me. These people over here, they know the Lord and they seem to live in a different way than I do. these people over here, they're not like me at all, but they got something that I don't have that I wish I had. And it just keeps adding up to the point where I'm just like, maybe this is true. And I start reading it and reading it and reading it, and the Spirit of God has His way. And the next thing you know, I've discovered God. In my own life, I've discovered that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. So guess what I got to do? I have to surrender. I got to get saved. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Okay, ring somebody and get baptized and give your life to Christ and confess it and put it all over Facebook. Shout it in the streets, whatever you got to do. That's what we're doing. That's how we're engaging in the community. That's how we're making disciples, y'all. It's a challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge. It really is a challenge. I mean, it wasn't really that much of a challenge for Jesus, was it? I mean, he's Jesus. All he had to do is walk around and say, "I am," all the time. But we have to go around and say, "He is." That's the difference. He is. You know, and here's what's helpful to us is I'm just another sinner telling another sinner about the Lord. And it's easier for a sinner to believe a sinner because we're in the same boat. Hey, the boat's sinking. Oh, really? Like, it's sinking fast. I didn't notice. Yeah, my feet are wet. Your feet are wet too. Hey, we need to get out of here. And the way out is Jesus. You don't have to answer this question out loud, but how many of y'all have ever had an opportunity in your conversation with a perfect stranger, have ever had an opportunity to just look at a person and say, "You know what, have you ever prayed about this situation that you're talking about? There's a conversation going on and something's going on in somebody's life, and have you ever just looked at them and said, have you ever talked to God about that?" I think sometimes people are reluctant to say that to somebody because they might get an answer. They might get a no, and then what are you supposed to say? And they might get a yes, and then where's that going to go? Right? Or, even worse, they might say, "No, but will you pray now with me?" And then now you got to pray with them out loud. You got to hold their hand, and you got to go before the Lord with this person about their problem. And I'm not trying to make a joke about it, but that's really a stressful thing for people to do. Especially somebody you don't even know. You've just met them somewhere. And maybe you're in a public place. This is just some what ifs. What if the Lord, you're sitting down there at the Dairy Queen, right? You got your banana split going. And a person working there comes out there and brings you some extra napkins because that's what you need. And there, something's going on, and it's obvious you need to start this conversation. And within a minute or two, this conversation leads to, we need to pray right now about this for you. If the Lord led you to do it, would you do it? Right there, just stand up right there in front of everybody and say, "Lord, this person right here needs you." I believe that's who the Lord wants us to be. And I know that it's a challenge for a lot of us to do. It's hard because it's out of our comfort zone. I think it's out of our comfort zone if someone were to do that to us. If we're standing in line and we're just kind of stressed out and someone comes like, "Hey, can I pray for you?" We're just like, "Oh, get away from me." Because we don't know the person, right? It's just, I mean, all that goes on the inside. But deep down we're saying, "Well, I wish somebody would pray." You know? It's not about come to my church all the time. I'm never saying don't invite people to church. I'm never saying that. What I'm saying is, it's not about that. People start coming here because they start knowing who we are. And because they know who we are, they know who God is. Because they encounter us in the world, they say, "You know what? I need to go be around those people. I need to go be with those people. I need to learn more about those people." What they're really saying is, "I need to know more about God. I need to know more about God and His kingdom. What can I do to be with Him?" And we won't be able to stop them. And this ain't gonna sound. I was thinking about this last night. I was going over the notes. And it's like, you know, when COVID happened, it like happened. There was nobody could be ready for it. That thing, that's what a virus does. It just goes, and it just goes fast. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because I'm thinking, okay, if the body of Christ, the ambassadors for Christ, would be ambassadors for Christ on a regular basis, as the Lord would lead us, the gospel would spread way faster than COVID ever did. That's the only thing I can associate it with, as far as how fast things can move. And we look at the Bible, like in Acts, all through the book of Acts, we saw the gospel keeps getting big. People, this church just keeps growing and growing. They keep getting persecuted, and it keeps getting growing and growing. It's supposed to still be going on like that. And it is in parts of the world if you look around. But our question is, as believers here in this congregation, is it happening here? I think yes, and I think it could happen more. I'm just challenging you to ask the Lord what to do. Ask the Lord for opportunities to engage with people, whether you know them or not. Right? You ever seen in the store, I'll finish up with this. You can buy yogurt in a little container. You can buy yogurt in a big old gigantic container. I'm just asking the Lord that this congregation would have a gigantic container of friends and close-knit people that we can minister to. Not all believers, just people that would become believers. And then it would just keep getting bigger and bigger, see. Next thing you know, we're just like, I would love it if we just all looked around and was like, we don't even know half the people in here. Not because of any other reason, but we're filling the place up because people are coming to Christ and God's being glorified. That's the only reason I want this church to fill up, is because God is being glorified and people are getting saved. Or God is bringing other believers to give us more hands on deck. Amen. That's it. Let's pray together. If you know somebody, we're going to sing an invitation song. If you know somebody who's not saved, just want you to think about them and pray about them while we're singing. If you're online and you need to be saved, call me on the phone. Hit me with the messenger. We'll get you set up. We'll get you on your way.